In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, refuge of sinners. Saint Joseph, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's readings, we have two women. The first reading, we have the just woman, Susanna, who was framed by two wicked men into either choosing sin or remaining faithful to God and suffering an unjust accusation. And she showed through her great trust in God that somehow God would come to her defense, and that it would better, as she said, to fall into their wicked hands innocent than to sin against God. And God came to her aid in the person of Daniel, a young boy who was given this great grace to, already as a young boy he had the prophetic grace to speak out for God and to seek justice for Susanna. He was inspired by this simple little test of these two elderly men using a tree as a test of these men. You might say that a tree came to her defense, and it was through a tree that Susanna was found to be innocent and defended and brought justice. In the gospel, we have a woman who is guilty. She was truly guilty of the crime that she was accused of, for they said they caught her in the very act. And as people have always commented on this gospel, is why wasn't the man also there to be stoned as well? Because it wasn't just the woman who was to be stoned, but also the man as well. And our Lord comes to her defense, but in a different way. He, instead of invoking justice, he invokes mercy, in that he asks those men who had brought her before him, he was without sin, cast the first stone. Maybe each one of them at one time or another had committed the sin against the woman. Maybe that's what our Lord wrote down on the sand, was times and dates, you might say, of when they had fallen into sin with this woman themselves. Obviously, they knew her, and they caught her in the act of adultery, so it must be that maybe that's what our Lord was pointing out to them, that their very crimes themselves. But our Lord, instead of condemning the woman, he invokes something that is dear to the heart of Christ, and that is mercy. He gives her the grace to not suffer the consequences of her sin. As recently we heard, that grace is a gift that we do not deserve. Mercy is not getting what we deserve. And in this case, our Lord invokes mercy and doesn't give to her what she deserves, and does so because of another tree, the cross of our Lord, which he would obtain grace of forgiveness and mercy for us all. As we know that we will be celebrating very shortly in this coming Holy Week, Good Friday, and the whole divine mercy, the blood and water which flowed from the heart of Christ, that he would use the tree of the cross, rather, as the means of granting mercy to us all. And it's not that mercy is, just letting us off the hook. Our Lord does say to her, go and sin no more. And she is to make use of this mercy of God and change her ways. Each and every one of us gets this opportunity when we go to confession. We are guilty, and our Lord grants us another reprieve, forgiveness, that we are let go, and the whole, the intention of the penitent is that they're going to avoid the sins in the future. In one sense, we're being very presumptuous if we go to confession and we don't have any intention of making attempts to break the habit of sin. We have to make efforts, and we have to do what we say in the confessional as part of the act of contrition. We have to have a firm purpose of amendment, that we're going to do our best to avoid the occasions, and that we're going to truly make use of this opportunity of God's mercy once again to do what is right, to avoid sin, to not go back into the old ways. And we know, though, that with God's mercy, that he gives us many opportunities, many second, third, fourth, fifth, maybe 1,000 chances again to strive for doing what is right and to break the sinful ways that we have, so that confession is truly a great grace that God has bestowed upon us and giving us the opportunity to go to confession, but that we must also make use of the means that God gives us in avoiding sin and putting into effect remedies against those vices that we may fall into. Many times people aren't aware that, for every vice there's an opposite virtue that we should be practicing, and that's one of the remedies that we must take more serious efforts at. If we're impatient, or if we are lustful, or if we are greedy, or whatever it may be, there's always the opposite virtue to help us to overcome these. We must replace the bad habit with good habits. Of course, we know bad habits, vice, are sins. Good habits are the virtues that are really the perfection of a certain power that we have. Some of those already by nature: fortitude, temperance, justice, and prudence. But the others, we also get infused grace, infused virtues to help us to practice those natural virtues. And then we also get the three theological virtues, which make us pleasing to God and allow us to act in a way that is far above our nature, which is faith, hope, and charity. Let us, today, as we get closer to Holy Week, we look at these two women, Susanna, who was the just woman who trusted in God and did not want to give in to sin, and she was freed by God's grace and by trusting in his mercy and justice, that his justice would come through for her. And the woman caught in adultery, who also received God's mercy and was let go, but also with the provision that she would turn away from sin and follow after Christ. Both of these women are examples that we should look to trust in God, and to also to look to his mercy and to do our best to make use of this time that we have for his mercy, to change our ways, to truly make good on the times that our Lord has let us go, that he has released us from our condemnation, so that we can do what is pleasing to him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.